now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. With your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is November 19th! People are starting to stress out over a stupid colonial holiday! And we are Homegrown! 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo.
You really are Black Frodo.
It's the feet. You really should see my feet.
I've seen your feet.
It's really hideous. Yeah.
I have. I've seen the feet.
There's way too much hair on those toes.
Well, and the toes, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm really trying to figure out. I should really see somebody about that. But, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
And with me, as always, to discuss my toes is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones. Leslie, you actually have a break.
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't.
You're not here then.
I'm here physically anyway. I have serious show hangover. Serious show hangover.
I can understand that. You've been doing a lot of shows. You've been doing a lot of August Wilson shows, which are physically enduring, layered, complex pieces.
But you saw the show.
Of theater.
You saw the show. Ain't Louise fun?
Yeah, Louise is fun.
Louise is fun.
Yeah, I saw
man.
The show. I saw the show. I'm hating on that budget a little.
Right.
Really. Like, there was a lot of, Seven Guitars was beautiful. Props to the set design, props to the crew and the people that, you know, built that thing and made that possible. But I'm hating a little.
No, I understand.
Right.
I understand.
Harmonica coach.
Yes.
That's all I gotta say.
Guitar coach, too.
I'm saying, though.
Yeah. No, seriously, Lady T, every single rehearsal, there was food. I'm not talking, like, snacks.
What?
I'm talking, like, one night... We were doing the card scene, you know, where we actually had food on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was like, she bought us dinner. Now, I'm not saying like, went like cheapo.
Right.
This woman went to the store and bought us 14 chickens and had them cut in half.
Damn.
So we could all have half a chicken.
That's like two chickens per cast member.
And then... And had sides. She had macaroni and cheese. She had greens and cornbread and the whole thing. And every rehearsal. Yeah. Every rehearsal was like that. We had a supply of fruit-based popsicles that all of us have now become addicted to. every time we have a break, it's like, who's getting a popsicle? I want one. Get me the apple grape one. That's the best one. Seriously, halfway through the rehearsal process, I looked at her and was like, do you want me to fit into these dresses?
She's a beautiful individual.
She really is.
Yeah, I saw her like in a darkened corridor as we were like leaving the area, just saying, hi, thank you for coming, hi. And she like glowed out of that like darkness that
there's
I was like, oh, that's you.
There's like glitter around her at all times. Yeah, it's like you really think you feel like you've met a fairy or something.
She's an ethereal figure.
Yeah, and she the way she talks to you, like, oh, hello, beauty, how are you today? It's like, how can you not love that?
Yes.
Like, it's just
thank you for affirming me. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. So last show today, 2:00.
Get your tickets.
If you haven't gotten a ticket, you may not be able to get a ticket because last time I checked, there was like 4 seats left.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big old theater.
It
deep
is. Yeah.
Theater.
Yeah.
Big and deep. Big and deep.
That's what she said.
Hey-o. See, I was trying to keep it.
I got show hangover.
It's Sunday, for God's sake.
I got show hangover.
It's good to be back.
Yes.
It's good to be
back. Great.
Speaking of affirmation, we want to affirm our first guest, Mr.
Our
Greg
only guest.
Brown. Hey.
Our only guest.
Only guest.
Yes.
Oh, well, you gotta play the whole CD then. He's he's putting out a new CD called Wonderings. And that comes out on Friday.
Greg's also, got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at all of this.
There's
I was
a really
like,
big list.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. There's a lot of stuff going
so
on.
So let's talk about, so, hey, Greg. Let's,
good yeah. morning.
What's
How's
up?
Everybody doing? Good, good. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm
good, good. Yeah, a little busy, busy bee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I got a chamber music guitar disc coming out Friday, on Black Friday. It is called Wanderings. So it's got everything from string quartets to guitar duets, a couple things that, in the Chinese pipa style, a string quartet that I brought along. String quartet in the style of a la Paganini, where he replaced the second violin with guitar. Paganini nut. So, yeah. So it's kind of cool. So it's violin, guitar, viola, and cello, which is a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fun combination.
Yeah, you know, the viola is an undervalued instrument.
It's true.
Like,
I agree.
I mean, I went to the Richmond Symphony, what, a year and a half ago, something like that. And I forget exactly what piece they were playing, but there was a viola solo. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I never even thought about it.
Well,
you know, I've always heard it in the orchestra, mm-hmm. not by itself. It's
right.
beautiful.
Well, essentially, it's the bass violin. The bass never gets
right.
no love.
Right.
You know, it's always like,
that's
you
true.
Know, the tenor two, the sopranos.
Well,
you know.
I mean, I love a good bassist.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. I saw I guess a year or so ago, I saw a group do, and they did like a viola concerto, and it was awesome because it was just all
viola.
So it was super sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the repertoire isn't as vast as it is for violin.
Yeah.
But there's some great stuff and great players. So
cool.
So how does this differ from your Chemo Brain project that you were
gotcha? So
working?
So yeah, I'm kind of like musically schizophrenic. So I've just been doing whatever.
Isn't that redundant? If you're a musician,
right?
If you're a musician.
So yeah, really, just in the last couple of years, I've just kind of kicked the doors and said like, all right, I'm like this kind of guitar player, that kind of guitar player. So you know, I did kind of a disc a little over a year ago of all Spanish style stuff. I did the blues disc over the spring.
Mm-hmm.
This is more chamber music, more classical-esque, although I do have two pieces, one with ukulele, and one is actually with ukulele and humpback whale accompaniment, which is kind of fun. I did that as a project for a PSA years ago for an aquarium out west, which was kind of cool. And so, and the Chemo Brain is all the rock stuff kind of that I did. That
so
I,
is this music featuring humpback whales, or is this music for humpback whales? I mean,
I think all music is for humpback whales. They love to sing.
All
they're very
them.
Musical.
Right.
They
That's
are.
Right.
They do love to sing.
But is it like party, club, jump, get turned? Humpback whale music, or is it like love your partner, you know,
it's,
down by the cove, humpback whale music?
I mean, it's more romantic.
Wow,
humpback
David.
Whale.
I mean, I want to know what type of mood the whales are going to be in when they jam with Greg Brown.
Well,
I mean,
maybe the music will put them in a certain mood. Maybe that's the way it works.
I think they're in the mood. I think
I don't know what a whale sounds like.
Yes. Yes. Songs to swim
to. Trying
to
make whale sounds.
It's singing along.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all good.
That's how it is.
That was just kind of fun.
I've missed you.
It's always fun. Yeah.
I've missed you. I really have. So how did the Chemo Brain project start?
Well, let's not leave
Wanderings
too
quickly. No, that's okay. Either or, we can jump around a little bit. So so the Chemo Brain thing started probably a little about 5 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. And, and ironically, just, a few weeks before was Christmas. And so I got all this like audio packaging and stuff like that and software. And I was trying to work on recording it and trying to figure out how it worked. And it's so funny. I didn't realize it at the time, but anytime I opened a file and I tried to start a file, I had to name that file, which I didn't do. And so I would start recording MP3 files. So, but it saved each folder, each tune under a new folder.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I went through all the chemo, blah, 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 and I was kind of going through, man, I was like, man, I woke up one morning, I was like, I got to find this tune I was working on.
Right.
And I realized I had like 50 folders called new folder. And I was like, oh my God. So I went through and I first came across this piece called Love, is what it's called today. And actually, I think I sent you guys a track. And and it was like this tune was done. And it was just kind of pretty, you know, accompaniment in the background and just kind of like an improvised guitar solo over it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I added was a little bit of delay at the end, and that was it. And it just blew me away because for me, one, I have no recollection of doing this piece.
Really?
Not at all. And it was definitely, that's what the whole chemo brain thing is you become so mentally foggy that you don't remember, you know. There's right. Sometimes I felt like I was like, you know, coming out of it, standing in the middle of a room and be like, okay. I mean, it was such a weird thing.
Yeah.
And so as I went through all these other folders, I would have all these sketches and pieces of stuff that I wrote during, you know, the cancer process that I didn't really remember doing. So afterwards, I kind of flushed out the ideas and finished them. And that was the chemo brain thing. So the disc that'll be coming out sometime in January called Another Dose, thought that was kind of a good title, is more in that vein. It's kind of instrumental rock, you know, kind of Satriani-esque.
Okay.
But I remember doing this one.
Well, so that's good.
That's the difference. That's I actually remember this whole process. So there's some things that I, in the chemo brain, where I wanted to be true to the project, and it had like drum machine, etc. So this time I have like, you know, I added like bass and I've added right. drums and things like that. So I've kind of flushed out. I think there's two tunes that I use from chemo brain, but everything else is all new.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And we got love right here, don't we?
Yes.
Let's hear some love.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear that love. Right, that was love.
Wow.
From Chemo Brain. Can I just jump in? Yeah, jump in.
Can I just say how intense that was? And like, so the drum, the bass, the beat really sounded to me like a heartbeat.
Right. Sure. And
so it's like, so how much do you think your how much do you think what you were going through influenced that? Because if I think of that as a heartbeat with the guitar and with everything else, it sounds like somebody, it sounds so desperate. Sounds like somebody just holding on.
I was going to say a hint of desperation, a longing, you know, a search for like maybe a personal connection or something like that. So it just really sounded really, yeah. Yeah, there's sure. definitely a hint of desperation in there. So talk about
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah, it was... It blew me away because I don't really remember doing it, you know, right? And so,
right.
But it did definitely, for me, even in reflecting here and now, it was just like, it was such a, like a purge. I mean, I couldn't, you know, it's like going through chemo is awful. And so, you know, what I was going through was pretty intense. So we had, I couldn't play. I couldn't play like right. my classical guitar. I couldn't because the tension was greater. And so I could play my ukulele. But it was like something about the electric guitar. I started dusting off my chops. The tension was less. And for me, I'm like, I just had to get it out, like what I was going through. And so I think a lot of it kind of fell out in this tune, you know.
Did you feel like a sense of like urgency to put all of this music out and get it on file and have it created because of like, you know, going, you know, getting diagnosed and like going through, you know, just the stages of that in general, just like realizing what you were going to have to go through and then actually going through it after you laid all these tracks out and then coming back to it? Was there like, okay, I might not get a chance to create the music that's in my mind, or at least the emotions that, or music that conveys the emotions that I'm feeling right now. So was there like, did you feel like you were on like a timetable to get this project done?
Gotcha. No, not really. I wasn't supposed to be terminal. So I was stage 3B.
Right.
There is no 3C, and you know, and four is usually terminal. So it was I was pretty close, you know. I was kind of at the door, so it was. But you know, my doctors are always like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna come through. You're gonna be great." Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes that's not always the case. So,
right.
I'm very fortunate to be here and still able to create. So for me, I mean, I started playing guitar like when I was 12. So I started writing music as soon as I learned a few notes. Like, so for me to go through months and go through this process without being able to, you know, process it musically, like, yeah, I do so many other things, was a difficult thing. So, it's wild. It was, mm-hmm, it was a wild ride.
Nice. We're gonna pay a bill or two. We're gonna come right back with Greg Brown. We're gonna talk more Wondering Team Up. Look, we paying bills.
Okay,
we major right,
bills.
We
major. I just, you know, right. I just wanted.
Don't kill the illusion for the people. We're here with Greg Brown. This is Homegrown. Drop. 17 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We're talking with Greg Brown. New CD called Wonderings coming out Friday, but we're also talking Chemo Brain, which is coming out on January. And he's also got another project, Crystal Ball.
He's got so much.
From the episode. It's true. Yeah, Chemo Brain is an oldie.
Already came out.
So it's good. It's up, yeah, on all digital places now. But so
It's been out.
But the second installment, Another
right.
Dose,
yeah,
is coming out in January.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
The sequel,
that's right. The one I remember doing.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can do stuff like that, like what we just listened to and not remember it.
That's the way to go.
You know what? I think you're okay.
Well, thanks. Yes. The psychedelic error.
All right, so Wanderings.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you play so many genres of music.
It's like, true.
So this one is Wanderings is classical.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there's
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. If you put a label on it, we'll say classical with maybe a couple toes in the world thing. So
because okay.
I do. So I had a book of sheet music come out a few weeks back, and there's two pieces I did in like the pipa. It's like a Chinese style.
Yeah.
Kind of my homage to martial arts. It's called Shaolin and Wudong Mountains, which are like the two founding places in China of the soft and hard style martial arts. And so,
yeah.
So it's kind of in that style. So both tracks are on the Wandering disc. So it's. Then I have my ukulele tunes, and then there's a piece with guitar, there's a couple kind of Spanish influenced styles that just the way it is, it just comes out. And then there's the string quartet, and then a guitar duet. There's a few duets. So there's a lot of it is like chamber music,
okay,
with me and other peeps. So currently it's listed on iTunes. I saw the pre-orders up as under various artists, but I'm trying to see if they can fit, because there's so many other people on this disc, but I'm like, hey, what? And I'm like, no, it's my disc. It's all original
stuff.
So if you're looking for it, I'll try to send you guys a link.
Send us a link so we can put it up.
Because if you're looking at my name, it ain't there currently.
Yeah, I hate when they do that various artist thing, when you're looking for something and it was only on a compilation, so you're, you know.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's hard to find.
Yeah.
So what kind of emotional mindset were you say you were in during the sessions for Wonderings? Was it more like a bounce around from Chemo, or was it something that was completely like different and diverse
Very different.
From it? Was this kind of like after your mm-hmm. you know, your recuperation from the chemotherapy and all. So it's kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, maybe.
Yeah, just kind of going through. I mean, when I was in Maui over the summer for the guitar festival for a couple of weeks.
Nice place to be if you want to be in a good mood.
Yes. Yeah, it was. So a lot of that inspired me. I mean, I worked on the ukulele for years, but it kind of inspired me to kind of get some things down, written out. Mm. And then a couple of Spanish tracks just didn't make it on my Recuerdos de España's disc that came out last year. The string quartet is actually an older recording, which I just remastered. And I just thought it was kind of a nice way to close out the disc. Mm. So it's kind of fun.
So basically, you're just always making music.
I try, yes. As if I'm awake, yeah.
Like, yeah, because there's a lot of different, not just genres, but you do a lot of interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, put the way you mix instruments, like, mm-hmm. is that something that you have a feel for, or is that something that you've done through trial and error?
Yes, both, all okay. the above. I kind of fancy myself more as a composer than anything else, because I do write in all different genres. A movie I did, and I just got the email from the director, a movie I submitted music to like 6-9 months ago. I was like, hey, what's your address? I'm going to send you the DVD. And actually, I'm awful. I don't remember the name of the movie. But I'm going to get it. Once I get it in the mail, I'll tell you. But it's a horror movie. So that's all very dark, you know, music that I did for that. And so but it's just anything. And, you know, for me, music is emotion. So I have, you know, many. And so I'm like, all right, if I'm in this mood, I'm writing different things. You know, I mean, I grew up doing, you know, rock jazz and then metal and then flamenco and classical and it's still all there and I love it all. So it's like, why put myself in a box and do that? So just express. And then when you're doing stuff, so many different projects and styles, it gives you the opportunities to play and incorporate with other musicians, which is fantastic, you know, and other artists. So it's great.
So how do you get collaborators on your stuff? Like, are they just musicians you've played with before and you know them, or typically, do you like search people out? Like, oh, I want to play with this person.
Right. Yeah. Typically, the trumpet player on here is a buddy of mine who unfortunately he's moved now to Raleigh. We used to play a lot of blues and jazz out and around town, which was a really cool combination, trumpet and guitar. You know, it was something you used to hear back, you know, the turn of the last century, and but you don't really hear it that much anymore. So,
right.
So we did a tune on the blues disc, Just Tell Me Why, which was the St. Louis Blues, the W.C. Handy tune, which was a lot of fun. And so, the string players were actually referred to me by Laura Thomas from Charlottesville High School.
Okay.
She's like, I'm like, hey, I'm working this piece. We finger through this and just play through some of her students, which are always, you know, phenomenal players.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great. Let's jump in the studio and do it. So we did. And so it just, it just depends on, you know, what you got going on.
Cool.
I wanted to ask another question before, because I have to get out of here at a certain time. I know that as an artist, when I create, there's an impetus within myself to pause or doubt or do something to hinder or hesitate my flow or my ability to create. But it just sounds like you're the type of individual that always keeps creating no matter what, and it just like seems like you're always laying down tracks and you're always putting in music, and it seems like you save everything.
That's right.
Is there any type of pause, or any type of, is there anything that keeps you from not creating? Is there mentally, or is there any type of block, or like you know, anything besides the debilitating effects of chemotherapy?
Right.
Is there anything that keeps you from
that too?
Stop him either. He just didn't remember.
He was in the bed like F it.
That's right. Yeah.
Who's recording?
Nurse.
It's funny because in addition to the chemo brain thing, as I was going through the whole process, I also did music for a video game project, which is
nice.
Because I was out of work. I was out of work as well. So so that was kind of funny, and a lot of that I didn't remember doing as much as well. So it's funny, and as much stuff as I get out there, there's still a bunch of stuff that I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff like jazz stuff I haven't released. It's like I play jazz, but I don't really consider myself a jazz player. Yeah, I mean, it's a, for me, it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
And so There's tons of metal stuff that I've been sitting on, which will hopefully be coming out some next year. You know, with me with vocals, it's I don't know how many guitar players I know that play guitar and sing that are so conscious of their voice, and I'm definitely one of them. You know? So it depends. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, for me, it's just getting it out. I mean, for me, recording and sharing with everybody is, I love it. I just absolutely love it. So I'm like, well, that's like, now I can talk to rock people, and then mm-hmm. I go hang out with the rock and the metal people, and then I'll go hang out to the classical shows, and then I can go to the smoky jazz bars or whatever. You know, it's just fun.
Yeah. There's no reason to limit yourself or to put yourself in a pigeonhole.
Yeah.
That's the way to be. All right. I got to get out of here.
He's got to get out of here.
I know.
Well, it was nice seeing you.
I know. You seeing as well.
It was, you know, nice seeing you for these, you know, 25 minutes or so.
Work calls. Thanksgiving.
Come back and see us.
I will. Greg Brown, thank you so much for letting me talk to you. They're going to handle it. They're going to be awesome.
They got the rest. Awesome.
That darn day job.
Always.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. So, so do you want to play something now, or do we want to listen to another track?
Like, I think that we should, why don't we talk about what's coming up?
Oh, we should do that.
We should talk about what they break and talk about what's coming up.
Let's do the old list, shall we? The old list. All right, currently running through November 26th, the American Shakespeare Center summer fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI, Part 3 by Shakespeare, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Brackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Through January 16th, the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works by contemporary Indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA. Clark Hall. Last chance to see Seven Guitars is today, people. Today, 2 o'clock in the Ruth Kaplan Theater. Last chance for the glass artist Chip Hall teaching a glass blowing ornament workshop at McGuffey Art Center. Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore at Mary Baldwin University's Fletcher Collins Theater in Stanton. Also, your last chance for Albemarle High School Theater, Kafka's The Castle and Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as a one act. Once again, that's a weird combination, but whatever. Currently running through December 10th, A Christmas Story, the musical at Four County Players. I believe we talked about that on the show. I believe we did. Yes, talk to some people who were doing that. This evening, UVA Virginia Players presents the musical The Last 5 Years at UVA's Helms Theater. November 21st, UVA Fralin Art Museum presents the Fralin Downtown Film Series showing Frederick Wiseman's film National Gallery, a background look at London's famous museum. November 24th, Bent Theater Improv Comedy performs at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. Hey, Andy, what's up? I might be able to get there. I'm just saying. I might. I hope so. November 27th through December 3rd, auditions for West Side Story at PVCC. Yeah, you guys might want to get in on that. I love that show. November 29th, whether you're interested in writing in personal essays or working on a memoir, the Charlottesville Writer House class on nonfiction will provide you with the resources to tell your story effectively, led by Jody Hessler. All right. And for your musical options this week.
Today, Gangplank Road at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Kaylee Garrett and Gary Green at Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. The Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra continues their masterwork series with The Americans, 4 pieces by American composers, 2 inspired by Thomas Jefferson. Not because he was a composer, just because he was Thomas Jefferson.
Inspired by what?
Yeah, we talked about that last week with Ben Rouse. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You want to hear last week's show? Go to SevoPodcast.com. You can hear us talk to Ben Rouse and talk to the people from Four County Players about A Christmas Story. Ben Rouse, Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra, the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center at 3:30 p.m. today. Also today, acoustic trio playing oldies, bluegrass, folk, and Volk, Midlife Crisis at James River Brewery at 4 p.m. Tonight, small UVA jazz groups directed by Pete Spar, Jeff Decker, and Mike Rosensky
Oh, wow.
perform in a joint concert in Old Cabell Hall. November 22nd, Chamomile and Whiskey at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. November 22nd, also Phil Gibbs and Friends at the Whiskey Jar, Bigfoot County and Mama Tried, Do the Dead at the Jefferson Theater, and Stanton's Jam Band, Aquatic Lasso, is at Rapture. November 23rd, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. On the 24th, it's the Full Moon Saloon Band rocking it out for the Parrot Heads out there at Glasshouse Winery. Timmy Riles gives you acoustic jams at Dirty Nelly's. The Hackensaw Boys at the Jefferson Theater.
That's an interesting name for a band.
And on the 24th, Ships in the Night and Synthetic Division play a Stranger Things-inspired show at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Also on the 24th, DJ Tulo has a blacklight party at Tavern on the James. On the 25th, Her Checkered Past plays Albemarle Cider Works. The Buzzard Hollow Boys are at Batesville Market. The Tyler Dick Band at the Whiskey Jar. And Groove Train brings the funk and the fun at the Jefferson Theater. Also on the 25th, we're talking Travis Elliott and Lord Nelson at the Cafe, Southern Cafe and Music Hall. And V.A. Doe and Denzi host Black Saturday with music by DJ Flatline Lay at the Anteroom. And then after that, Flatline joins DJ SoFly to spin at Tasha's B-Day Bash at an Anteroom late show.
What? Those names. I've never even heard of those people. I don't know if I want to go there.
Every Friday morning, West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, Charles Will, Friends of Old Time Music. Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church. Where else? And every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tune Mushel Irish Pub. The Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. And every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Right.
Bam! Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Woo!
Every Thursday, it's Lua, our friends Lua at the Bebedero. And also every Thursday, if you just can't deal with anything else.
Yes. John Dearth!
And the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth.
Woo, that's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
33 minutes past the hour. 33 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is going to be Joel Jones with some of his people from Big Blue Door. They're going to be doing some improv, I think,
yes,
on the show.
I think there's going to be like five of them.
Well, I think so.
It's going to be crazy in here in a minute.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. But before we do that, let's hit our own version of insanity.
Yes, our own version of crazy.
Return to our own version of crazy.
Can we?
With our man Greg Brown. What up, Greg?
Hey. Yeah, what would you like to do? You want me to play a ditty?
Yeah. Let's
play.
Okay. Last time I was here, I did a... I was talking about a blues disc I did, Just Tell Me Why. This is actually the bonus track, which is on not online, on the hard copy disc. It was from a series, actually. Oddly enough, I wrote years ago called Daydreams. This is one of the tracks. Not the last track, as you'll tell, because it ends on a ninth chord. So it's called Eclipse, which I kind of revisited after seeing the eclipse in, was it August? And wow, incredible thing. So, guitar's getting used to the weather change.
I'm glad something is.
Yeah, just trying, it's not succeeding. Thank you.
Like the speed that your fingers move, like that, it's oh my god.
Well, they're actually a little cold, so.
So is there a day that goes by that where you don't touch the guitar at all? Or
many, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because yeah. I would think with that level of precision, because I play a little guitar, just a teeny bit.
Right.
And I've been taking, and it's taken me years and years and years of lessons just to play that teeny bit.
Sure.
So I'm musically dense. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So, but I would think to keep that level of precision up, that it would take regular daily practicing. But you're saying that sometimes there are days that you just don't play.
Yeah. But for all my students out there, that's totally every day.
Right. Exactly.
But no.
You have not reached the mountaintop yet. Once you reach the mountaintop, then you may stop for a moment and see the vista.
Right.
Until so then, climb, my students.
Right. Yeah, it depends. Because sometimes with working on some of the rock stuff and the Another Dose and some of the other stuff we're working on, I've been playing a lot of electric. So it's definitely
which is different.
Huge different feel.
Yeah.
Just the tone, sustain, the response. I mean, and you don't have the right hand thing at all.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference in terms of guitars, whether it's the classical acoustic or the electric or the ukulele?
Right. It just depends on my mood. I mean, I was playing ukulele 2-3 nights ago and going like, wow, why don't I do this more often? You know, and this morning I was like, oh, you got to do this thing. So this morning was probably the first time I've touched a classical guitar in a week or so.
Oh my God. You know,
it just depends. But yeah, wasn't that the thing they say if you play something 10,000 hours, or you think for 10,000 hours you're an expert. So I think I clocked out on that many years ago. But you know, it used to be 8-12 hours a day for the longest time. So
right.
It's right. You know, and this guitar, which I love, she turned 20 this year. So aww. I know this guitar
so like
the
well.
Back of my hand so well. And it's I don't know, it's just there. I'm very fortunate that
so do it. I played clarinet, mm-hmm. and I've sung, mm-hmm. so I know what it's like to memorize music from that standpoint. For mm-hmm. you know, getting a piece of music written by someone else and memorizing it in with a quartet or an orchestra,
sure,
and memorizing music as a singer, I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But is it different when you've written it and ooh. You're playing it, like? Because no one would know if you mess up. Like, no one would know if you decided to change it.
That's why I play all my own originals all the time. It's really safe. There's no charts. It just kind of goes. Well, I think that's part of the reason why I do kind of
like the way you warped that chord right there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
totally chose
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
totally chose it.
Written in, man. Did it.
That's right. I think that's why I do kind of like a rock thing, which a lot of it I improvise, and then I might come up with a skeleton or a structure, and then the classical thing is I notate pretty much everything that I've done, so it's just a very different part of my head that I do. So my classical stuff is very very verbatim.
Okay.
But some things change though. There's still that impromptu thing I do when it's live, and I just go like, you know, when the adrenaline's going and you're just like, I'm just gonna go for this.
Right.
Or why don't I do this? I mean, I've definitely changed pieces before. I don't really feel like a piece is done usually until I perform it. Because I think it's not until you kind of get thrown into the fire that you know the strength of a piece or work that you go like, okay, oh, this part's a little weak, or maybe this part should be a little longer, or this needs more another harmony. You know what
right.
I mean? So,
right.
So that's, I mean, as much as I feel like a piece is done, I don't feel so until I perform it or it gets, you know, whatever, premiered or whatever. So, it just depends, you know.
Let's go back to talking rock for a moment. So
sure.
Another Dose.
Right.
So Chemo Brain, we talked about the where you were at in terms of the production of that.
Sure.
Another Dose in a completely different.
Right. I remember doing this.
You remember doing that one. Right. Yeah. So how does that affect things?
In which way?
How did that affect Another Dose? Is there? I mean, what's the feel of Another Dose?
Gotcha. Okay.
That makes it really, you know, how, okay, here's the question.
Okay.
Oh, here's the question.
Uh-oh.
How in style and feel is Another Dose connected with Chemo Brain? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, how is it different? See, that's the
yeah. There
question.
We go. There.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Very good question. Okay. So Chemo Brain was definitely I guess kind of a musical therapeutic process for myself.
Right.
Where I tried to stay really true to that, because some things I use drum machines for, and I was kind of on the fence for that. I was still a big Satriani fan, and I always remember his first release. He actually used drum machines. I said, well, Satch can do it. I can do it too. So this tune, Another Dose has two tracks, The Love and another one that were on the previous one. The Love is kind of as is, just remastered. But there's another one where I actually had a drummer, Steve Sanderson, kind of lay down some drum tracks for me that were drum machines on the previous, which totally changes the tune.
I mean, and
especially with Steve playing, he's very all over the place, which is great. I mean, he's very virtuosic. He's not just like, you know, four on the floor. He's going for it, which is great. And so it creates a whole different space. An atmosphere in some of these you know, couple previously released tunes, and then I think they're a little bit happier. I'm feeling a little bit more confident in my playing. I'm kind of going for it, you know. So it's a lot of fun. I think one piece I sent you, High Speed Chase, which mm-hmm. is kind of like kicks off the disc. When I finished that, I was just so happy. I was like, wow, this is really cool, you know. And although that actually is a drum machine as well, but I laid down kind of like the bass tracks and things and the rhythm tracks and just kind of just went for it. But pretty happy with
it. Okay, so how many instruments do you play?
Just the guitar.
No. You can't say just the guitar.
Right. Okay.
Because you just mentioned bass. Right.
Right.
So you wrote those. Okay.
Okay.
So
sure.
I mean, yes, it's a type of guitar.
Okay. Right.
So how many types of guitar do you play?
Too many. I mean, we got. Well, we
right?
got. I mean, if you do like the nylon string and the six string steel, and then you got the 12 string, and you got the nylon string, and then I guess ukulele, and then you know electric bass.
You haven't picked up the sitar yet?
I have. I don't own one though. But no, I mean, I played oud. I actually used to own a lute for a while, Renaissance. But the nails from classical guitar totally destroyed the top, and I felt so bad that I eventually sold it. So I just didn't really. As much as I love the lute, that might be something I'll hit in my retirement, maybe.
Well, let's listen to High Speed Chase.
Yes,
that'd be great.
Yes, let's listen to that.
WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. If you own a business or a professional practice or have a say in the marketing of a local enterprise, I'd like to encourage you to consider joining our growing list of on-air underwriters. WPVC reaches a thoughtful, educated, and mature audience in and around Charlottesville with respected national hosts as well as Hispanic and dance music audiences nights and weekends. And it costs less than you might think. For more information on how your business can become a WPVC underwriter, see our website at 947WPVC.org, or you can call 434-284-9470 or 466-4116. Everyone's support makes a difference. Your business's support can make a big difference, and not just to us. Let's hear from you today.
50 minutes past the hour, you listen to 947WPVC.
Jeff will appreciate that. Some, you know, some metal under his little advertisement there. That's awesome.
I think that reflects our mature and intelligent audience.
I think it does. Totally. I think it does. So, Greg,
we both have questions. Which one?
Oh my God! So, number one, I love that. I think especially in rock or metal, mm-hmm. The bass is massively underused. So I love the fact that you had a strong bass line in that. Thank you. I'm sitting there listening to it going, okay, is it going to like fade out and just go to the, you know, the normal like three notes? Are we just fine? And I'm like, no, it's got its own melody like that.
It's pretty fast.
That excites me. Thank you. Love that.
Right. Set the basses free. Set the basses
right?
free.
Right? Right? Yeah.
No, you can feel it. Like you said, you crank it up. You can definitely feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So is that something that you do normally, or is it dependent on the track?
Like the bass thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it depends on the track. You know, whatever I feel it the tune needs, you know. But I don't do it much. Although, as I say that, I think I'm going to lay down some bass tracks today.
That's but, right. Blow out some windows. You
that's
know,
that's right.
Just saying.
It's Sunday afternoon. Let's do some bass.
Why not?
Neighbors will love it.
So can you talk about your relationship to rhythm in your composing? Because I noticed that all three of the songs that we've listened to, and it's a small sampling, but all three of the songs we've listened to have had a driving forward mm-hmm. feeling, even though they've had different emotional feelings mm-hmm. through right. all of them.
Sure, sure. No, that's good point. I think I haven't thought about it too much. I think a lot of it has to do with kind of the Latin, you know, flamenco Spanish thing, which are very, you know, mm-hmm. very pumping, you know, growing up outside of, you know, Miami. I just always heard these, you know, killer rhythm sections and stuff. You know, I'm a huge fan of all that, you know, like Tito Puente, stuff like that, to just boom, just moves.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is nothing
like
that.
You can just feel that.
But there's that thing that's pushing you, you know, that throughout the whole piece.
Yeah, there's always a pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to stay on time.
And you've mentioned Satriani, Joe Satriani. You want to talk for the people who might not know a little bit about? Is he a great influencer for you?
He's one of. I mean, I would say definitely. I mean, growing up, definitely a Van Halen guy. I was definitely right up front. Was it last week with Malmsteen in town at the Jefferson, which was ridiculous.
The shred man.
Yeah, he is the shred man. So I mean, and that's kind of when I growing up in the 80s. Those were the guys that I loved. I mean, I grew up. I was a big, you know, Maiden, mm-hmm. you know, Van Halen, Yngwie, Vi, Satch, you know, Satriani. But Satriani's kind of one of the most, you know, I mean, as recognized as he is, he's, you know, the people that he taught, like Kirk Hammett from Metallica or mm-hmm. Steve Vai, you know, Larry LaLonde from Primus. I mean, it's just, it just goes on.
I'm a
and
huge
on.
Steve Vai fan. Yeah. I love him.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a great. And it's funny. And oddly enough, he actually took over for Malmsteen in Alcatraz.
When, oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. When Malmsteen went solo.
Yeah.
Vai took over his place in Alcatraz. And then David Lee Roth gobbled him up. And then David Coverdale, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
So we just have a few, what, 6 minutes left, actually more like 5 minutes left. Talk very quickly, Age of Fire.
Okay.
That's coming up. That's going to be next year.
That'll be next year.
Tell
so
us
this
about
is
that.
A kind of a rebirth. I had, that was my old, and as much as I listened to classical and Satriani and flamenco, I still listen to tons of metal.
Yeah.
Huge metal guy. So, like, for me, like, the High Speed Space Chase, you know, Chemo Brain is very rockish.
Yeah.
Maybe hard rockish.
Yeah.
But inside, I mean, I grew up playing thrash metal for years. So this
is... Yes, I've seen the videos on Facebook.
Yes. Yes. Back with the hair.
With the hair, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that went a little more viral than I was expecting.
No, that was awesome. I was like, really? Is that... That is him? Look at all that hair,
under
man.
The hair, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen it. He was like, hair down to here, like, shirtless on stage.
Was he just throwing
like,
the hair?
Throwing
was
the hair, the hair everywhere. It was
hair
awesome.
It was a lot of hair. So Age of Fire is about, well, it'll be 10 years ago next year. So as a kind of like the 10-year anniversary, I'm going back and revisiting some old tracks. I have a couple new ones that I've done, a couple more I have in the can. So I'm trying to get kind of like a super edition and kind of redo some of the old ones, and then not necessarily redo, but I'm kind of making it sound more contemporary, fattening up the sound,
okay.
and doing some stuff. Might double some of the vocals, harmony, just kind of making the tunes more contemporary, and then adding some new tunes on top of it. So
cool.
So it's actually from as an audio file, it's definitely a project, because I'm revisiting the stuff that we moved from reel to reel that yeah. became digitized, and then trying to it's a process, but it's but somebody who loves, you know, audio engineering, it's kind of been a fun challenge. So, but the old tunes are starting to breathe back to life.
So is it hard to maintain all of the intricacies of the sound as you go from
sure
from media?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like what happens from reel to reel to digital?
Yeah, it's a process trying to clean it up. I mean, some things like the drum set that was done back, I think a couple tracks were done back when we were in tour in Jersey, like 88 89, and so the drums were kind of mixed pretty poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to salvage that as much as we can, or do you need to
lay down a new track?
Yeah. Which that's not me.
Right.
You know, and finding a good metal drummer is really hard, especially in this town. So and if they're good, they're busy. So
what makes a good metal drummer?
I mean, just like, I like the orchestration. I'm a big like Nico McBrain fan from Maiden, obviously Vinnie Paul from Pantera.
Okay.
You know, something that can somebody can move, and usually if I can find somebody who's a good metal drummer, they're like half my age. So which is cool. I have no you know, that's it's great.
But, you know, it doesn't do a whole lot for the ego, you know?
Yeah. All right, Sonny, come over here and play this thing.
Right, that's exactly. Right. It's like, yes, I could literally be your parent. That's how, yeah, I mean, yeah. I've gone through the same thing with the Seven Guitars cast. Like,
right.
You know, like, I look at these guys and I'm like, I literally have a child your age.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little.
It happens.
Yeah,
I've taken, it's funny, I've taken some youngins to some metal shows over the years, and we do some meet and greets, and they'd be like, oh, cool, oh, you guys are here, what is this? And it's like, how'd you bring her? Yeah, that old guy over there, yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, my God.
The old guy, like, leaning on the bar, yeah, that's the guy.
That old guy,
yeah, that's
no.
the one.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Yeah, but, no, but it's fun. It's fun, too, for me as a challenge, because the chops involved to keep that up.
Oh, yeah.
So to try to keep up with my, you know, 17 to 23-year-old self has been fun, too. So.
Well, I mean, that's why I've always loved Rick Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you know, if anybody has some get up and go, and like,
yeah.
I mean, like,
very cool.
If you can lose an arm and still be a rock drummer, like that's talent right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
to, like, to figure
man.
Out how to make it work and still, like, crank out some awesome... That's,
yeah, and the band hung in there with them, which is phenomenal.
Yeah,
that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, my God. Greg, it's been awesome.
Poof. Yeah, it's great to see you guys again.
It's been awesome talking to you. I'm
likewise.
So glad we decided to do an entire hour with you because you know, you got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, stay busy.
There's always lots of music coming out of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But thank you so much for coming and sharing all of this with us. It's been awesome.
You bet. Thanks so much. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Yeah, man. Take care.
Oh, my goodness. So what?
All right.
Next.
So, this has been Homegrown. Playing behind us is Crystal Ball, a single from Greg's upcoming Age of Fire metal project. Our guest today has been Greg Brown. It's been Homegrown, your show about local arts. Stay tuned next for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Rick Moore. His guest is going to be Joel Jones and some of his people from Big Blue Door. They're going to be doing improv on the air. So fly, they don't care. Thank you for David. Evil David's day job, who took him away from us, but at least we had him for the first half of the show. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you guys for listening. See you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.